And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good Tuesday evening, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, The Convert.
Hey, Mark, I was doing some reading on the Pope's encyclical, Laudato Si,
yep.
the new encyclical on care of our common home.
Yes, sir.
And you know, the media has given it kind of a bad rap, focusing in mainly on his statements about global warming.
Right, right.
Well, I think we can all agree there's some climate change. There's some weird stuff going on,
sure.
Whether it's man-made or not,
right.
Who knows. But in his first section, he talks about pollution, waste, and the throwaway
right.
culture.
Right.
Especially in paragraph 22, he talks about how the things that we make and buy today are temporary fixes, and nothing can actually be fixed. You know, you can't have somebody come out to your house and work on anything anymore. They just say, well, you just need a new one.
Yeah, they design them to bust after so many years.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
They do. It's a marketing deal.
Well, the fact that he's talking about recycling and taking care of our environment has set some of the other radio shows off the edge, you know, calling him a radical and a crazy global warming fanatic.
Yeah.
And that encyclical is not about that.
And that doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, you know, it gets
cherry-picked.
I mean,
they've been after him since the day he was appointed.
Yeah.
And they are always grabbing a teeny-weeny soundbite out of an hour conversation and making it headlines.
Well, and that's exactly what they've done with this. So my recommendation is it is online. It's long. It's 180 pages long. And I was listening to Monsignor Sweatland on Go Ask Your Father the other day, and he said, take a chapter at a time.
Right.
Take it, read it, digest it.
It's how you eat an elephant, one piece at a time.
There you go, and that's about what this is, you know. So
for an avid reader like me,
but
it's
well worth
it next year.
It's,
yeah,
it's well worth it, which brings us to tonight's topic. And our guest is the new executive director of Habitat for Humanity for Decatur and Macon County, Mr. Ed Smith. And Ed is a graduate of St. Teresa High School, 1975. Ed attended Western Illinois University and graduated from UIS in Springfield. And believe it or not, Mark, this guy was a police officer, too.
What?
Yeah. He worked.
I don't recognize him.
He worked on the Decatur Police Department.
He must have worked a different shift or something.
Well, I know exactly where he worked because he worked with me and for me for years.
Well, now that you mention it, he does look a little familiar.
He was in street crimes. He was a patrol sergeant and a patrol lieutenant. He was deputy chief of administrative operations and the administrator of the Emergency Communications Center.
Indeed he was.
He retired in 2010 and opened up a private investigations company and has his own private investigator's license through the state of Illinois. And he worked as a project manager in 2014 on the Decatur Catholic Community Partnership with Habitat for Humanity.
I remember that.
In the house that was built at Webster and Clay. And just this month, Ed has accepted the position as executive director for the Decatur Area Habitat for Humanity. So we want to welcome Mr. Ed Smith. Ed, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys.
Welcome, Eddie. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you have really stepped up with this Habitat for Humanity from project manager to executive director. And the home that you guys put together over at Clay and Webster is a beautiful little
it
home.
It is.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that got started and what it took to get that thing going and completed?
Well, a lot of it started off with Father John, who was, he wanted to partner with Habitat, so he kicked off the process and started negotiations, and through the process, he dragged myself and...
We've all been dragged by Father John.
Yeah, yeah.
Myself and...
And by the way, we're talking about Father John Burnett, pastor at St. James and St. Pat's.
But I got lucky that we had Rick Koresh, who had just come back to Decatur. He'd retired out in Arizona as a house builder and came back here, so Rick actually built the house. But we had a good team going, and we partnered with Habitat, and I have to thank Romano Company, because Jim Romano helped get us a deal on the housing materials and things like that. It was just, and, you know, John Shalosky with Promax helped. It was just a collaborative effort that we put this house together, and everything just came together and it worked well.
And the funding for all of this basically came from the parishes from Macon County, is that right?
Yeah, we funded quite a bit of it. Habitat has a building fund, and so we partnered with them, and Habitat puts up the upfront money, and then what we collected and through donations, we had a lot of donations from some of the businessmen in town, and we ended up paying, donation-wise, I think about a third of the house cost.
Now, when the house is ready for habitation, since it's a habitat, how do they select the person, and then do they just get this house free? Here you go.
No, and that's one of the things that when Father John recruited all of us, that was one of his main points, and I'd like to say right here, Habitat is a hand up and not a hand out. These people, there's a selection committee, and they have to have employment. They have to be able to pay a mortgage. They have to do 300 hours of sweat equity.
Good. So they have their own elbow grease into the.
Yes.
Good.
They have to do 200 hours themselves, and then they can have another 100 hours, either family members or friends or something like that. But they have to put their own sweat equity into the house. So, and then once they're selected and once the house is built, they actually get a mortgage and they pay the mortgage on the house. It's a zero interest mortgage that Habitat, sets up.
Is it like a reduced balance? It's not like, a house in that neighborhood probably goes, a good house in that neighborhood probably somewhere in the 60s. Would she pay something like that, or does she pay what we had into it, or you had into it?
No, they actually get it appraised, and then they look at mortgage rates and mortgage companies and the banks, and they set a price for it. And
wow, that's great. You know, because I was misinformed on that. I thought that once they got it, it was just theirs.
Yeah, I did too.
So that's great. That way they learn a little of the responsibility of building and keeping house and maintaining it.
And that's another thing about Habitat, which I really like, because they have when we get a partner, we have send them through classes where they have to take classes on money management, and they have to have classes on how to keep up a house and things like that. So there's an educational portion of this also.
Do they open that up to the general public, people like me?
Not right now, but
but if you're looking for board member, Ed, I think I just heard a volunteer.
No, you didn't. I am forbidden. Vicky, my wife, forbids me from touching sharp objects. I can't even handle felt tip markers at home anymore. I have three left feet and
You guys know my history with tools, so.
Yeah.
You're a fence builder, as I recall.
First time I've seen you without a cast or stitches or something.
That's
why I didn't recognize you when you came in.
That was one of the agreements I had with Habitat for Humanity because of their liability insurance, that I would go nowhere near the place.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know how to start a hammer.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
We triangulated a subfloor in the kitchen.
Yeah.
We were measuring a fatal
accident. Yeah, you wouldn't believe this. We were going to put down a subfloor in my first home. And Mark comes over to help me, and we don't know how to do this, but
Can you imagine the house wasn't square? It was only, 50 years old?
But we did know how to measure a fatal car accident scene. So we started in one corner of the room and measured the floor out like it was a fatal car accident. Yeah. And while we're doing this, a fireman, a good friend of ours, Dick Allen, God rest his soul, what a great guy he was, stopped by to check on us, and he looked at us and shook his head, and he said, "Oh, my God, what are you guys doing?"
Well, it worked, though, because he ended up finishing it.
Yeah, and so that's why you probably didn't see a lot of us around over there, although financially, I know all the parishes helped, so I feel good about that.
And I will say this, too. We had volunteers from all the parishes, and it was a great group of guys and gals that helped out, and I appreciate them more than I can tell you guys. So
now, I got a question, Ed. The sweat equity that has to go in the house. What if you're dealing with a guy like me, providing I was qualified for the program, that hurts himself by turning his head? I mean, what kind of sweat equity are we talking about here?
Well, there's also sweat equity. You know, a lot of times when you think about that, the first thing you think of is actually taking the hammer and setting walls.
Right.
Doing that type of work. But there's a whole list of partners for Habitat that you can do charity work for. Catholic Charities is a partner. You can go down and help clothing.
Deliver Meals on Wheels.
Deliver Meals on Wheels. Things like that count as sweat equity, too. So
So it's kind of in kind, then.
That is... it's in kind, basically.
Well, that makes sense, Ed. Sure.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take a break here, and we're going to go ask our father with just a minute, Father, with Father Joe. And when we come back, Ed, we want to talk about what the goals are and what your vision is for Habitat for Humanity in Decatur and Macon County.
Hi, this is Father Joe Malloy, pastor of Holy Family Parish here in Decatur. And I would like to, just for a moment or two, reflect on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. At times, isn't a yes person grating? You know, that sort of person who says yes to a boss or friend or spouse in order to get on their good side, or to get to be their pet, or to show that they are a team player, when really they're not. Whatever the boss wants, that person does. Whatever the person wants from this person will agree, even if it means going against what they believe or hold as truth. The word phony may come to mind to describe such a person. Well, our second reading, that reading from 2 Corinthians, talks about being a yes or no person when it comes to our faith. Now, this is a good example of being a yes person, a very positive example. Our faith calls us to say yes to whatever Jesus wants us to do. Our faith calls us to say yes to God's word. Our faith calls us to live as people who act out of a yes mode to the truths, commandments, beliefs that our church holds. Are we those yes people for Jesus? Is the answer yes or no to that question? Hopefully, when it comes to obedience, faithfulness, loyalty to our Lord, we are always those followers who live and show a yes. What other answer should the Lord expect from us?
Okay, and that was Father Joe Malloy from Holy Family Parish in South Shores with Just a Minute, Father. We thank him for those spots. Now let's get back to Habitat for Humanity with the new executive director for Decatur and Macon County, Ed Smith. And Ed, you've just recently taken over this position, and I'm sure you've got some long-range goals, some short-range goals, and some vision for the local Habitat for Humanity. And here is your forum to tell us what you're going to do.
Well, to start off with, right now our resale store is shut down. They had some problems with the asbestos in it and some other things and had to tear it down. And so one of my main tasks that I'm given right to begin with is to, I'm looking for a resale store. And I'm starting to look at some real estate here in town. I've been working with Jim Romano a little bit.
And, oh, there's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah,
no
you
doubt
better
about
believe
that.
It.
And some other, and we've, you know, our resale store committee has been looking at property for, you know, several months now. But we're trying to find places that would fit the criteria for a resale store and get something opened up, because that generates money that we use to build houses. And
I got a question about the resale store. I guess I was a little bit confused about that too, thinking people brought in stuff that would go into Habitat for Humanity homes. But it's generally a resale store, a clothing and a household item, stuff like that, that makes money to help purchase stuff for the homes?
Correct. And we do.
Oh, okay.
We do basically home improvement, home stuff, not the clothing and things like that. And in the past, what I've been told is there's a pretty good cooperation. I keep going back saying Catholic Charities or Salvation Army or even, you know, charities like that, where if we get clothing or something brought to the resale store, we'll say, hey, you know, we don't sell that. We don't do that. Take it to the other places that do. And mm-hmm. sometimes they'll get tools or something in and say, hey, you know, take that to Habitat because, you know.
Now, will you take my old cans of paint?
Probably not the old cans of paint.
Oh,
but
darn.
We'll
take
hard to get rid of
paint.
Nothing over 20 years old
no.
or 15 or
no,
something.
There's all this lead stuff that you have to deal with. As
really?
Far as
no, government
we
regulations.
We ought to look into a show on that and get that word out to people.
That'd be a good idea,
it
Mark.
It would be.
That's why he's a convert. See, he's got good ideas.
Yeah.
But when you talk about where else we're looking at, the volunteer staff at Habitat is an aging staff, and we're trying to get a little more public face to Habitat out there, and we're looking at, you know, partnering with other religious groups, corporate organizations, anything like that would want to partner with us, kind of based on the same partnership ideals that we had with the Catholic community. Mm-hmm. And that was Habitat's first try at something like that. And though we had a few bumps in the road, we think it's a good working model. And so, you know, even in the last few days I've been at Habitat, I've had a few people reach out and, you know, are interested in doing some partnership deals like that. So.
Excellent. Well, you know, Decatur is a very generous community. When you look at what they do for the Red Cross and the food drive and stuff, this community gives its heart out. There's no doubt about
that. And it never ceases to amaze me along that same line where I hear about an organization that maybe I hear the name all the time, but I don't know much about, like Habitat for Humanity. But all of a sudden, they're funded through donations. And largely, I guess. And so that just, you've got United Way out there. You got all these different groups, you know, that are soliciting for funding, and yet people are giving. And I think that's just incredible.
And that is one thing about Habitat. And we'll look at grants and things like that.
That's what I was going to ask you about, grants.
But even in Habitat International's policy, they're very particular about taking grant money, because as far as taking grant money, as you guys well know, anytime you take grant money, you also take the obligations that go along with the grant money.
Sometimes there's match, sometimes there's in-kind stuff.
And reporting requirements. I mean, some of those grants can be
I think most agencies have a grant writer and a grant manager on board.
Right, and if you don't, it's a handful trying.
Well, and, you know, lucky for Habitat for Humanity, Ed used to manage grants for the police department.
Yeah, right? How about
that? So he's got some experience there.
He got us just a few of those, as I recall.
That's right. So as far as the vision, where we're going to go from here, is there another house to be built soon? Do you have to raise the money before we can go there? Where do we go from here?
We actually have the selection committee has selected a partner. And they're looking for a site right now, site selection. Then it goes to the site selection committee. And one of my tasks is going to be, I'm going to go meet with our old friends down at the Civic Center.
Oh.
Because it seems to me that Decatur has a lot of property that's sitting around that could probably use some housing on it that would put it back into the tax base, and then... you know, we could be a good partners for the city.
Yeah, I bet you the neighborhood service officers could probably steer you towards a couple of lots that are already there that need something done with them.
But we are hoping to put a foundation in the ground probably within the next month or two. And
oh, wow.
We would hope to get enough volunteers to get it sited and covered by the time winter gets here so we can work on the inside of it.
Well, that's a good idea.
Well, you'll let us know when that happens so that we can get some spots for you on the air and have you back when that happens. I think Habitat for Humanity has scored themselves a good executive director.
They surely have.
I know, Ed, that you put your heart and soul into this first project that you managed, and it's just been a great thing for the community.
Well, he's always been a leader, too. I mean, in the police service, you could count on Ed to get something done and get it done right and to get his subordinates to follow him willingly, you know. Yeah. That's just one of his great qualities.
Well, a good leader, as we've discussed in the past, is someone you have to have trust in and someone that you know is competent. Yeah. And having been a project manager and, you know, the boots on the ground, so to speak, for a project, I think that makes for a great executive director. So anything else you want to tell us about, Ed, before we wrap this segment up?
Well, we're also looking at some things like a good program that Habitat has, and we're looking into this in Decatur, is the Veterans Build. And, you know, we've actually made some initial inquiries with some of the veterans.
Now, you're talking about GI Bill?
No, we're talking about the Veterans Build.
Build. Oh, I see. B-U-I-L-D.
B-I-L-D.
But, you know, it would be, we're talking about finding a, you know, a veteran that meets our qualifications for a home and then having veterans groups, maybe like the DAV or something like that, assist us as a partner in building a home for a veteran.
Well, that'd be great. You know, that's one group, if I can editorialize just a little bit here, that needs our support. There are many jobs out there that we all have, and we get a great retirement. But you take an individual that spends 20 years, let's say, in the military or any stint, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 8, when they get out, it's there's no benefit. I mean, other than the pride that they have and the thanks that some Americans will offer them for their service. And I just think that that's one area that we need to concentrate on is giving individuals.
Well, I saw, I think it was a Habitat program, and it was in the southern state somewhere where they built one for a disabled veteran and lowered all the doorknobs and lowered the lights so that the veteran in the wheelchair could get in and out of the house.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
Well, that sounds like a great program, Ed. And we've got a lot of good veterans, the VFW and the DAV and the Legion. You know, they got a lot of members that have a lot of time on their hands that could get out and do some good. Okay, so, Ed, if somebody wants to get involved or help you, how can someone get a hold of you? Do you have phones, websites, emails? Give us all of that.
Yeah, our office phone number is, of course, 217-425-6446, and we're at www.decaturhabitat.org, or I've got a brand new email. It's edsmith@decaturhabitat.org. So you can get a hold of me or the office manager at any of those numbers. So,
okay, it's 425-6446, DecaturHabitat.org, or edsmith@DecaturHabitat.org. Ed, thanks for joining us tonight. This is a great, great program. We're so thrilled that you're going to be running the program here in the city and the county. God bless you and good luck.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, Mark, I want to try something different here this evening. I've got a couple books that I'd like to give away tonight on the show.
Well, what are they?
The book's entitled, and I think it might be just for you and me, the book's entitled I'm Not Okay, You're Not Okay, But It's Okay.
How would that apply to me?
You're the one that's probably not okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, the book's written by Chris Padgett. This is a book from DynamicCatholic.com, Matthew Kelly's organization. And what I want to do is, if you would like to get a copy of this book, I'm going to give two of them away this evening. Go to our Facebook page at 88.9 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio, or just on Facebook, search WDCR, and you'll see us. And like our page and put in a comment of book, B-O-O-K. And then Mark and I will copy down the names of the people that type in the word book, and we'll put them in a hat and we'll draw out two. And we'll notify those people via an instant message or a mail back through Facebook. And then we'll leave these books at the front desk here at St. Mary's with their names on them, and they can pick them up. So the book itself, it's pretty interesting. In short, it talks about how much time we spend pretending to be somebody we're not, and the reason we hide ourselves from each other, thinking that if somebody really knew us, they wouldn't want anything to do with us. But the truth
is
that,
true.
That we're all flawed and broken. And while we pretend that everything's okay, even if it isn't, it's easier to go through the motions than to be honest about it. So this book encourages people who have felt judged and rejected. It gives them a little hope, and the author is confident you'll laugh a lot and breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you're not perfect. I'm not perfect, but it's okay.
It is
so
okay.
WDCR Facebook page, like the page, please, and type in the word book. Okay?
All right.
You got anything else this evening, Mark?
No, I guess that means employees and station broadcasters are
you know,
exempt.
You're always wanting to. You're wanting discounts. You're wanting free books.
Yep.
You still think you're a cop?
Yeah, I know.
You're not.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
You're just.
Are you sure?
You're just a lowly talk show host, and you're not getting anything
I
free.
I still get a check every month. I thought I was still on the job.
Well, you know, with that, maybe we ought to thank God for what we have,
okay.
And we'll wrap the show with a prayer.
All right.
The prayer of St. Francis. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light.
And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us this evening on this episode of The Cradle and the Convert. I'm The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
And why don't you strike up the guitar here, and we'll go out with the song.
You want me to play the lead-in this week?
Yeah, you play the lead-in. I'll do the singing.
All right. Well, let me get my old Telecaster here, and you're going to sing this week.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, folks, hold your ears.
All right, hit it.
Hit it.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears the way we die. You can make the money.